your way in each and every one of our lives. And then we serve this time, Lord, that we would open up our hearts, open up our minds. Lord, whatever needs to be done in our lives, repent, change. Lord, whatever your will is, may it be done now. In Jesus' name. Well, good morning, and glad to see you here. Like I said, we need to pray for all those that are sick and gone. Thankfully, like I said, many that are in quarantine still are healthy. They're fine. They just are trying to make sure. And so, last week, some of y'all that was here, we talked about self-control. How did y'all do this week with your self-control? I did pretty good till Saturday, and then I ate way too many cheeseburgers last night. But man, they're just so good. Sometimes it's hard to stop, you know. And but I'm gonna get back on track today. And but you know, I was thinking a lot about self-control. For any of you that are wanting to fast, you can start that today. We're doing a 21-day fast. If you hadn't started yet, even if you started by the end of the day, we're going through the end of the month. That's actually 22 days. So just depending on when you start it, when you break it, and everything. But as I was thinking about, you know, self-control, and I need more self-control in my life and things that I need to cut out, I was also thinking about maybe what I need to add into my life. And if you would, open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to begin in verse 25. And I went ahead and read this whole section. And the section's talking about worrying. But that's not the topic really today, but all of us need a reminder to not worry so much, especially with everything going on in this world. It's crazy what's going on in the world and how quickly it can draw you into worry and fret and everything. And so I wanted to read this whole section, but there's really mainly one verse that I wanted to preach out of on this section. Matthew 6:25, it says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life?" I don't know if you guys struggle with worry or not, but I do. And, you know, when I was thinking about insurance, how many of you have insurance? Everybody has to have some kind of insurance. But I got to add up all my insurance the other day between my health insurance, my car insurance, my home insurance, my life insurance. And it's unreal how much money goes out each month for that. And why? That's for just in case. It's almost like a worry, like, oh, what if I wreck my car? What if the house catches on fire? Well, of course, you want to make sure it's covered in life insurance. Well, what if I die? You want to make sure your family members... You know, and all this is just for what if, just in case. Verse 28, "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, and which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith! So why do you worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." God knows what we need. Why do we worry so much? God knows what we need. Verse 33, this was the main verse, and this has been on my heart all week. "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." What I want to talk to you all about is seeking first God's kingdom. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. You know, I wanted to read it to you in Amplified, because sometimes Amplified just gets a little more. And 33 says in the Amplified, "But first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after." And when I think about that, aim at, strive after, how many of us wake up each day going, God, I want to seek you today? Or we hit the snooze and going, oh, I don't even want to get out of bed, you know? How many of us wake up each morning and going, God, please help me. Please help me, because more than anything, I want to aim after your desire for my life. His kingdom and his righteousness. And then it says, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God. So how many of us are seeking after doing his way of thinking, his attitude, what his character, and all these things will be given to you. So let me ask you this morning, are you lacking in something? Is there something in your life that you're missing? Is it maybe, you know, you have a great desire for something? You have a desire for, you know, just a new friend. You have a desire for people to get saved. You have a desire for, for this church. I don't know. We all have different desires for different things. How many of you have a great desire in your life and you just say, it really hasn't been met? I don't have that desire yet met, fulfilled. And so sometimes we run after that in the world, right? Like, you have a desire for a new truck. So what do? You work more hours. You get a better job. You have a desire for a new car. You have a desire for a bigger house. So you build a bigger house. You have a desire for these things, and you chase after that, and you chase after that, and then all at once you're in debt, and then you're stressed out, and then you're worried, and then you have marriage problems, and then all these things, and you go, well, wait a minute, I was just following all these desires. We got to be careful, and we're going to get into that in a minute, to make sure what you're desiring lines up with what God's will is for you. But I think for many of us, we have good godly desires that we just haven't seen met. And what I want to ask you is, have you been seeking God first above everything else? Because sometimes we think we can be filled by another person. We can be filled by the preacher. We can be filled by a husband. We can be filled by a wife. We can be, that they can meet our desire, that they can make us happy. We can be filled by a bigger bank account. If I just had that promotion, if I just had a little more of this, and y'all, none of that will meet. None of that will meet the needs like God can. But first seek His kingdom and His righteousness. I'm going to go all the way back to 1 Samuel chapter 1 now. And this is a very familiar story, but this is a good desire. Hannah desired a child. She desired a child greatly. That, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good godly desire. 1 Samuel, and I'm going to jump down and start at verse 5. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. This is Hannah's husband would give her a double portion. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. Now Hannah's husband had another wife, and she had children, and that's what they're talking about is her rival. She would irritate her. See, I've blessed him with children, and you can't do that. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? And isn't that just like a husband? You know, why are you all after that? What about me? I can take care of you. I should meet your needs. I should meet your desires. Verse 9, once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was still sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And as she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. She was in desperate need of a child, and she was so seeking God. You know, I think sometimes when our hearts desire us for something, and we can get depressed, we can get down, we can, oh, life's so hard, but sometimes we don't really take and seek the Lord the way that, like, Hannah was doing here. We don't cry out to Him. We don't look for God to meet that need. We look for it to be met in other ways. But she was crying out to God. Verse 12, as she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Have you guys ever seen a drunk person? Of course, you've probably all seen a drunk person. And what happens sometimes? They fall around, they stumble, they weep, they cry. I've seen crying drunks before, and man, they're hard to be around, aren't they? Somebody that's, you know, but you get the picture of what the priest is seeing here. He's like, man, what's wrong with you? You're coming in here drunk. You're so out of it. Think about how desperate she must have been. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been that desperate for God? God, I need you so much to meet this need in my life. Verse 15, not so, my Lord, Hannah replied, I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went away. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning they arose and worshipped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkan lay with his wife, and she I lost my spot there. And the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. God granted her desire. God granted her. But it said for years that this went on. Right? It didn't just happen overnight. For years, I'm talking about from the beginning. For years, her rival had mocked her and ridiculed her. Her rival was having all these children and she had none. And it took her getting to the point of desperation and truly seeking God is when her prayer was finally answered. I'm going to jump forward to Mark chapter 5, verse 24, and talk about the woman with the bleeding issue, with the issue of blood. I'm not real big on the, I shouldn't say real big, I'm not real studied up on the Old Testament, but I've been trying to go through the Bible in a year, and I should have researched this a little better before I get up here to preach about it, but I'm pretty sure a woman that had an issue of blood would be put out of the camp for that time. She wasn't allowed to come in. You can go research it if you want. Look at the Old Testament laws and see. And so this woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. So she wasn't supposed to be around any priest or anything like that, as best I remember now. I'm going off memory here. I didn't research it. Mark chapter 5, verse 24. Says, so when Jesus was with, so Jesus went with him, a large crowd followed, and pressed against him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. 12 years! Have any of y'all ever had an ailment for 12 years? Man, that's a long time. And if we're sick for 12 days, you know, we're miserable. If I'm sick for 12 hours, I'm miserable. She went through this for 12 years. Think about the pain. Think about the suffering. And she was supposed to be put out because of the issue of blood. She had suffered a great deal, verse 26. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. I want you all to think about that. Think about how many times we're chasing after doctors, we're chasing after the world to meet our needs, and things just keep getting worse. So verse 27, when she had heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothes, because she said, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was free from her suffering. So she was desperate. She was desperate, and she was seeking God. At once Jesus realized that the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, the disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? I want y'all to think about that for a minute. And I know I've preached on this before, but I just love to think about that. All those people were crowding against Jesus, but who got the miracle? Only one. Only one got the miracle. And it was the one that was desperate for God. What are you lacking this morning? What desire has not been met? Are you truly desperate for God this morning? Because you can be in this room, and we can have few in numbers. We can have a great big crowd in here. But y'all, you're the one desperate for God. Your need can be met this morning. Just like hers. They're like, if there was a crowd around you, who touched you? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. The woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering. She was so desperate for God. She was so desperate for God. Psalms 42, 1 through 2 says, as a deer panteth for streams of water, so my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Are you thirsty for God this morning? As a deer panteth for the water, we sing a song about that. As a deer panteth for the water. Have you guys ever been really, really thirsty? And I don't know if you guys are like me, but if I'm really, really thirsty, I don't want anything but water. I don't want Coke. I don't want Mountain Dew. I don't even want Gatorade if I'm really, really thirsty. The only thing that will satisfy is water. Are we that way with God? Are we so thirsty for our Heavenly Father, so thirsty for Him? Matthew 8, 2 through 3 says, a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. I am willing. He said, be clean. And immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Do y'all hear that? That Jesus said, I am willing. He's willing for you. He's willing for me this morning. But what are you desperate for? Are you desperate for the things of the world? Are you desperate for God? Are you desperate for to get to know Him and His righteousness and His kingdom? One more example here. Mark 9:21. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It often throws him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help him. I want y'all to think, hey, this boy was demon-possessed. I'm trying to cut it down and not read the whole thing so we're not here all afternoon, okay? And this demon's trying to kill this child. And the father's brought him to Jesus, and he says, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Verse 23, Jesus says, if you can do anything, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately the boy's father explained, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. You ever not believed? You've been praying for something for a day or two? Oh, God's not even listening. You've been praying for something for a month or two? Oh, I guess I missed it. You've been praying for something for years and years and years, like the woman with the issue of blood. And maybe you just don't believe anymore. I've been there. God helped me with my unbelief. This man, this father said, Lord, I do believe, but help me with my unbelief. Does that make sense? If you've experienced it, it makes sense. God, I do believe, but help me with my unbelief. I believe you can, but I don't understand why we're not seeing the results. I don't understand why I'm not seeing it come to pass. Help me with my unbelief. Verse 25, when Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. Are we seeking God? Are we full of unbelief? Do we trust that in our ability, in our might, because we think that, oh, I can handle this situation. I can go to the doctor. I can take care of my own self. Are we really just truly seeking God? Seek God first. See, I'm bad about trying to take care of things, and then when I get in a mess, I'm praying. I'm bad about, you know, well, I can handle this. I don't, you know, and then all at once I can't handle it, and then I'm praying. So we're supposed to seek Him first. And then I want to make sure that our desires line up with God's desire. Because, you know what? I'd really like $1 million. Anybody else in here really like $1 million? If I'm wishing, shoot, I'd like several million, and then I can share it with all y'all, right? And, I mean, but is that a godly desire, or is that a Pete's desire? Well, probably it's more of a Pete's desire than godly desire, right? Because God knows probably what I do with $1 million, and I probably wouldn't do the right stuff with it. That's probably why I don't have $1 million. So I want to make sure that my will and my desire is lined up with God. Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So I was thinking about that. Just like Hannah, God finally gave her a child after she began to really truly seek Him. And I was thinking, God, is my desires lined up with what they're supposed to be? In Colossians chapter 3, if you guys want to turn there. Colossians 3, it says, Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. See how many of us were seeking the kingdom first, but our desire is not set on things above. Our desire needs to be set on things above, things that matter for eternity. It says, set your mind, verse 2, set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. See, for many of us in this room, what are we seeking after? What is the desire of our heart? It's more earthly junk. It's more earthly things. You know, I think I told y'all this. I heard the other day on the radio that there is more mini storage buildings being built, or more mini storages in America now than there are McDonald's. And there's tons of McDonald's, right? Why is all these mini storages so successful? I got some guys at work that keep after me, and they're like, man, we really need to build mini storages. We should go in together. And it's like, okay, where are we going to build it? Because everywhere you look, there's already mini storages up, right? So why is all these mini storages doing so good? Because we got so much junk, and we don't want to get rid of any of it, and we want more junk, and we want more junk. What is our heart's desire? Is it the earthly things, or is it the things above? Verse 3, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ and God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly nature. So these are the things, if you're desiring, you need to put to death right now. Sexual immorality. It's rampant. Everywhere you look, it's rampant. It's on the TV. It's on the commercials. It's what everybody uses to sell stuff. Impurity. Lust. That can be lust of the flesh. Last week when I talked about self-control, that we need to have self-control with lust. Not only the lust of the flesh in a sexual way, but the lust of the flesh in desiring the newest and the nicest and the best things. Evil desires. Put to death. You know what's evil inside of you, don't you? We ask God to bless us. We're lacking in some area, but we're full of evil desires and greed. Probably why I don't have $1 million, because I'm too greedy and keep it all for myself instead of giving it to all of God, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. See, that's the thing is, God, we don't need to be living like that anymore. We don't. And if you're struggling with that, today is the day to ask God to help you and to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Verse 8 says, "But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger." Any of you got a problem with anger? One of the things that I'm fasting from is any kind of news media or anything like that. And I wasn't going to do that until this morning. You know why? Because last night I was reading some news stuff and I got so angry I couldn't even sleep. And I woke up two or three times last night thinking about it. Woke up this morning thinking about it. And I'm so angry at stuff being said. And it's like, ugh! And I said, for my mental health, I need to quit. I need to quit. So anything going on in the country, I don't want to hear about it. Okay? I don't need to hear about it because it makes me angry. Rage. I'm almost there. Got to get rid of it. Malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Is our desire lined up with God's desire? Romans 8:6. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. See, we got to make sure our mind is lined up with the will of God and seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness, and then our desires will be right. And then we got to remain faithful. I'm almost done, okay? We got to remain faithful even when it seems like, God, I've been praying for this for forever. I've been praying for this for a long time. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful." God is faithful. He's not going to let us down, church. He's not going to let us down. But boy, sometimes it seems like in life, like, man, I've been praying for something. I've been desiring something. I've been wanting something. And I've not seen it come to pass. Does your desire line up with the will of God? If it does, then remain faithful. James 5:7-11 says, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brother, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Are we remaining faithful? God, even when it seems like there's no hope, even when it seems like the time has passed, I want you to think about Abraham. He was an old man before his son was born, right? I want you to think about Joseph and put from captivity to prison, sold in slavery, and how God took care of him. I want you to think about Daniel. Peter talked about Daniel in our men's meeting Wednesday night and how Daniel remained faithful unto God. And God seen him through, even with foreign leaders, and God blessed him. But it's when we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Hebrews 6:15 says, "And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what he was promised." I'm not a patient person. I'm not a gardener. I'm very impatient. I'm finding shortcuts when I'm driving. I'm doing everything I can to hurry, hurry, hurry. You know, but God, we can't hurry, hurry, hurry. We have to wait on Him. Are you seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness? I'm going to end with one of my favorite few verses in the Bible. And in most Bibles that I give away, I try to highlight these verses. And it's Proverbs 3:5-6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness. Church, as we talked about self-control last week, we talked about fasting and what we need to cut out of your life. Can I tell you, we all probably need some stuff cut out of our life. But I believe for many of us, and me included, even more than the things that I need to cut out of my life, I need to add Jesus back in and seeking Him first. I need to be seeking Him first each and every day. When I wake up in the morning, quit grumbling. Got to get out of bed. Oh, it's cold out. Man, God, may Your will be done in my life. Lord, may I have Your mind today. May I not be chasing after earthly things. May I not be chasing after my desires. Lord, may I not be chasing after what I think is best, but Lord, may I only be chasing after You. So as we end here, I want to encourage you this week to maybe get up 5 minutes early, 10 minutes early. Maybe if I'm not going to tell you I'm going to do that. I'm just telling you maybe you should. But maybe at lunchtime, you take 5 minutes of your lunch. Maybe when you get home, instead of turning on the TV right away and watching the evening news, you take 5 minutes then. And maybe just pray. Maybe open up the Word and maybe download an app on your phone that will give you a verse of the day. And just take a few minutes and put Jesus first. If we're always filling our mind with the garbage of the world and we're not putting Jesus first in our life, how can we expect our desires to be met? How can we expect to even have the right desires if our will isn't, if our mind isn't cleansed and our will isn't in line with our Heavenly Father? So I want to encourage you, even more than cutting anything out of your life, put Jesus back in. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What are you laughing? Quit trying to seek it. Seek God. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word today. Thank You for what You're doing in my life. And Father, I pray that You would forgive me for all the grumbling and all the times that I'm chasing after the world and its desires. And Lord, I pray that right now in each and every one of our hearts and each and every one of our minds, Lord, that we would be seeing the areas that we've been lacking. And Lord, maybe for some here this morning, they've had a heart's desire that they're just aching, and maybe they're not crying on the outside, but they're crying out on the inside, Lord, because they're so hurt and they're so desperate for You to meet that need. Father, I pray right now that they take that need and they place it at Your feet. And they cry out to You just as Hannah did, just as the bleeding woman did, just as the boy's father that was demon-possessed, Lord, help us with our unbelief. May we be crying out to You this morning and be desperate to hear from You. Lord, may we remain faithful. Maybe this morning we're crying out and we might not see the answer in a few minutes. We might not see the answer in a few hours or in a few weeks. But may we remain faithful and know that You are in control. May Your will be done in every life venture now. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I hope this message sticks with you this week. And then you get a headache, pray. Before you reach for the aspirin. You get hungry, pray before you eat. You wake up in the morning, thank God that you got another day. We don't need to take our days for granted. We don't know how many we got. God, thank You for another day. It's cold out. It's killing the mosquitoes. It's killing the ticks. Maybe we won't have as many, you know? Think of things like that. Seek Him. You're lacking, get desperate for God. That's all I can say, get desperate for God. And I need to also. Y'all have a great week. Remember, I'll open up the church tonight at 6 for prayer if anybody'd like to come. And if not, then I'll see you next Sunday.